The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head above over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may we be guided this day and always by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to give you a point of clarification from last week. We were looking at the book of Revelation and John's revelation from the Lord. It says that heaven is 12,000 stadia. That is, anybody remember? You don't remember? Come on. 1,400 miles. It's 1,400 miles square. Well, I wanted to tell you that's not necessarily a literal thing, a literal statement. It may be 1,400 miles square. I think that's actually kind of small. But the point is that heaven is very large, at least 1,400 miles big. And so it is big and ready for Jew and Gentile alike. It's ready for me. It's ready for you. And so today, we continue the conversation. Jesus is taken up into heaven. Big deal? Or big deal? Okay. All right. Well, Paul tells us in the Ephesians text, Ephesians 1, a little bit about that God power that's happening in the ascension story. Let's look at it there. Ephesians 1, verse 15 and following. You always have to think when you see something like what it says in the first few words there. For this reason, well, what reason? For this reason, since you're one of the chosen, since you've become an inheritor of the riches of the glory of God, for that reason. Ever since I heard about your faith, this is Paul speaking, and this is me speaking to you a little bit as well. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. Advent Lutheran Church, same thing. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for thanks for all of you because of your faith. Thank you for sharing that faith. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. This almost sounds like our mission statement, doesn't it? That you grow in the Lord and make him known. That you know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart, funny, we had that little song just now, right? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I pray that the eyes of your heart, that's a weird image, isn't it? If you think of your heart having little eyes. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Incomparably great. There's nothing to compare with the power of God. Paul goes on, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. One of our songwriters now says, that resurrection power, that same power, another author says, is the power that we get every day. It was exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated Jesus at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things, again, an absolute. A lot of absolutes rest in God, don't they? All things under his feet, and appointed him, Jesus, to be head over a couple of things? No, everything. All things. Why? For the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. All right, I'm getting too worked up. I gotta get water. This is good stuff, the water. But the water of life that we hear in this word today. Well, you see, I have my glasses on because I can't see from here to here very well. When I want to see you, I have to go like this. So how many of you, looking out, I know the answer partially, have to go to the eye doctor? Almost all of us. You probably should anyway if you haven't been. Of course, they'll probably find something and say, oh, you need to buy some glasses. But it's good to get your eyes checked, isn't it? And we go, and I haven't been lately. These glasses, I'm praying they hold on a little while. But I haven't been lately, and I think they've changed some of the tests. But they run a bunch of tests, don't they? And you're supposed to read the letters on the wall, and some kids memorize E and F and B and G. And I don't even know what the letters are. But some kids memorize it, which you're not supposed to do that because you're really trying to check your eyesight, right? Well, what else do? They used to do that glaucoma thing, and that one kind of got you. I don't know if they do that still. They do it, and they puff you in the eye. Yeah, and then you're like, whoa, thanks a lot for that. They do warn you, but Sam, you've had some eye stuff, and Judy, you've had some eye stuff. You've been to the eye doctor, and you've had excessive tests to get repair, to get to be able to see better, right? And that's what it's for, so we can see better. We want to see our paper better. We want to see other people better. It's important for us to see each other when we're driving our cars. Of course, that's why there's insurance and insurance adjusters. That's another story. But they run you through all kinds of tests, right? Well, today I want to tell you that you're at the eye doctor. I'm not going to glaucoma test you, so you don't have to worry about that. But we're really at the eyes of our heart doctor. We're checking those eyes of your heart to see if there's a way to see better through those eyes of your heart. Well, we're a visual society, aren't we? We like screens. We like screens this big, and we like screens this big, and some of you like screens that big. And of course, who doesn't love going to the movies? Some people even have a movie theater in their home, and that's cool. We like to see things. We have our computer screen, and we see things all the time. We have constant barrages of information that we see. You're going to go home today and look up the Ascension on YouTube, and you're going to see Jesus float up in the sky. And then you're going to see up, up, and away, and you're going to watch Superman. And then you're going to watch a cat singing a song. And I don't know. We like to see all kinds of different things. Now, you've heard this phrase. Some have said, garbage in, garbage out, right? What we see, what we visually take in does affect the way we act, doesn't it? Truly. So I ask you, as your maybe eye doctor helper, what are you taking in? What are you seeing? What are you visualizing? What are those images that are coming? And so we all need to check that what we are viewing is godly. These things affect the eyes of our heart. And instead of looking at some of the things that we look at, oh, you know those things. We need to start looking at things a little differently. We really need to get a bit more enlightening for our hearts. And how do you do that? Through the Word. Through coming to church. Paul goes on, he says, in that Word of God, you get that in order that we may know the hope to which God has called us. In that word of hope, in that being an inheritor of the riches of the glory of God, in that you get that riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints and His incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power is alike the working of His mighty strength. And Paul says, which God exerted in Christ as He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. A lot there, I know. And you get to have some of that power. But look at the right things as you go through life. Make sure you're, especially as we get to summertime, looking in that very Word of God. Not putting it on the shelf and saying, oh, I'll look at it back in September when Sunday school gets back in session. But stay in that powerful Word. One of my pastor buddies, a mentor pastor, he said that when I am in the Word on a daily basis, I'm a better pastor. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better friend. I'm a better customer. I'm a better citizen, etc., etc. We're a little bit better as we're in the Word, aren't we? No, you know what? I'll go beyond that. We're a lot better as we're in the Word of God. As we have gotten the eyes of our hearts checked and we stay looking at the good stuff rather than some of the stuff that we look at. Well, today you get to have a little of that power that's above all rule and authority and dominion and name. You get to have a little of that power, that resurrection and ascension power. And we have inherited godly power, and we need that power as we get recharged when we come to the Lord today. Recharged as we come to the table of our Lord, receiving the very body and blood of our Lord. Recharged as we are forgiven and strengthened, as we hear and read His Word, the Word of power. And being in that Word of God gives us enlightenment. Now, I know the men's Bible class has been looking at other worldly culture religions, and we've heard about enlightenment, right? Hinduism, reincarnation. Don't kill that butterfly, it was Aunt Marge. But true enlightenment for our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, comes from the Lord and from His Word. And we start to have, as one pastor says, aha moments. As we see power through the truth of Jesus being alive and sharing His power, that we too get to inherit that being aliveness. I like to make up words in the sermon. That being aliveness that we get to have through Jesus. And it's not a temporary thing, is it? It's a forever thing through the godly power that raises a person from death, that puts Jesus in heaven to rule and to reign and protect and guard and defend and strengthen you, me. I appreciated our text today, the Acts text, the Ephesian text, the Luke text. They go together. And in those texts today, we see a great word. And the Greek word today for you is dynamos. Does that sound like something we hear? Dynamite! Right? It sounds like dynamite. And dynamite has great power. Some of you are military folks, retired and active, and you know about power of nuclear things. And I know some people say nuclear and nuclear. Anyway, you know about power, right? You know about dynamos. It makes your ship sail. Sorry. It makes your ship sail. It makes your artillery rounds fire. And you have dynamos, great power, boom, explosive power. And that's what we have today, great power, godly power, explosive power, power that delivers from the devil, that moves us away from sin, that gives us forgiveness, that moves us to change, that transforms our hearts, changing our behaviors. That power moves us to love, I hope. That power builds us up from brokenness. You don't have to raise your hand. I already know the answer. Who has brokenness? We all have brokenness. That godly power helps us to be whole. That godly power nudges us to completely give us newness in the kingdom of God. That power of God lets us know God better. That power of God helps us to see that Jesus is in all, that He is above all, that He is over all, and we get to be a part of it. Not the end of the sermon, amen, but amen?
Amen.
Okay. That godly power has placed all things under Jesus' feet. All things, including our hearts, the eyes of our hearts. And God has appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is His body now. And it is in the church where the fullness of Jesus fills everything in every way. The church is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And so we have great responsibility to use the power, godly power, as His godly church. So you, being here today, and I don't know where you came from, physically I know where some of you came from, but I don't know where you came from in your faith walk today. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are angry. Some of you are sad. Some of you are lonely. Some of you are happy. There's various things that are going on in our lives, but I think you being here today is important. You are in the most important place. You are in the body of Christ. And it's the people of God gathered here today in this place as His church, where we come and receive power from on high, power from Jesus, who is up, up, and away, but who is still close by to us as He sent His power of the Holy Spirit to each of us through our faith, that we would know Him and start to get part of the revelation, that we would know there's a Savior for each and every one of us. There's a rescuer for each and every one of us beyond Superman. This body of Christ has fullness that fills everything in every way. The body has power. The body of Christ has strength. The body of Christ has love, godly love through godly power. And this body has enlightenment to change your day. The body of Christ has wisdom. The body of Christ has revelation. The body of Christ has restoration. The body has truth. The body has the way. The body has the direction for your life. The body has life. And there's life after death. The body of Christ has Christ Himself, Jesus, who is in all, over all, through all. The body has Him, and it is this Jesus who is the way, the truth, the life. Through Jesus, the only way is where we get our hope. It's where we get real hope that is in the Father and His kingdom. And the Holy Spirit helps us to see all of this. So may your eyes be open. The eyes of your heart be open. May you say to the Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Because you, Lord, change me forever, giving me a beautiful inheritance of godly power, godly love, godly hope through Jesus, my Savior and Lord, who now sits at your right hand. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Amen. Peace, love, grace, faith, and godly power be yours through our risen and ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May all glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.